And welcome back to the Roundtable. It's Tuesday, 11 minutes after 10 o'clock. It's Book Picks time. Emily Crow joins us with this week's selections from the Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley, Massachusetts. Always fun to have Emily on the show. Welcome back.
Hey, Ray. Thanks for having me on today. And sorry I couldn't make it into the studio today.
It's rare that we do a phoner, but it's A-okay with me. What's on your list today?
Well, I'm going to start off with a book called The Wrathbones by Janice Clarke. I had the opportunity to meet Janice Clarke at a double-day dinner in Boston a few months ago, mm-hmm. and once I learned that her book had been edited by Allison Callahan, who's the editor of The Night Circus and one of my favorite books, I knew I would have to read this one. The Wrathbones is a novel, and it combines elements of classics. So you've got elements of Moby Dick, and it's also got a feel of a 19th century American version of Homer's Odyssey set on the Atlantic Ocean.
Wow. Now, what do you mean by elements of Moby Dick?
Well, it's a whaling story. So it's borrowing from Moby Dick and going into traditions of whaling, America's history with whaling, and how whaling has shaped the New England history.
So, oh, very interesting.
Basically.
It's a good beach book if there's any beach time left.
Yeah, if there is any, it might be work. So it's a seafaring family, and you start with the founder and the patriarch, who is Moses Wrathbone, and you end up getting the story narrated by his great-great-great-granddaughter, I think I got that right, who is 15-year-old Mercy Wrathbone. And her father has been at sea for many years, and it's gotten to the point where suitors have started to come around the family home to woo her mother. And one night she hears a mysterious and haunting snippet of music, and she follows it one night up to the widow's walk, where she doesn't understand what she sees. Her mother is, shall we say, engaged with the man in blue. And when they notice Mercy there, he chases her wildly down the widow's walk and through the house, and she's convinced that he's trying to kill her.
Ah.
And so she escapes with her uncle off to sea, and the last thing you know is that, you know, he's sort of always on the horizon chasing them. And while she's at sea, we start to learn and understand the very peculiar history of her family. So you've got adventures and abductions, there are secrets uncovered and covenants betrayed, and there are hidden identities that one by one are at last revealed. And this is a really high adventure, complex, very well written, and very interesting first novel. And I would recommend it for general readers, and it was just published a couple of weeks ago.
So that's The Wrathbones by Janice Clarke.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, the next book I would like to mention is called A Marker to Measure Drift, and the author is Alexander Maksik, and it was published by Knopf also about 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
So this is one of the most gorgeously lyrical and haunting novels that I've read in a long time. It is set on the Greek island of Santorini, but the reader kind of discovers, you know, in the opening chapters that life is not idyllic for Jacqueline, who is the main woman in this novel.
Okay.
She's homeless. She's actually a refugee from the civil war in Liberia, and she is repressing certain memories that have brought her to Santorini from Liberia. And little by little, as the book unfolds, we start to understand what those memories are that she's repressing. The book is also really sensual, and it comes up in unexpected ways, and I think that's part of the writer's genius. So if Jacqueline is out scavenging for food because she's near starving, and she finds a half-eaten, half-melted chocolate bar, you really do feel the way that it melts on her tongue, and it almost feels like nirvana when she's able to bite into it. Or when she goes swimming and she goes out into that warm and safe feel of the waters on her skin, and it's a soothing balm to her when her mind is almost paralyzed with the terror of her memories, you could say. What's also really good about this novel is the author really showcases Jacqueline's very delicate psychology, walking the fine line between memory and madness. As her mind becomes slightly more settled with the relative safeness of her Santorini surroundings, little hints of madness come floating up into the narrative. And I think what the author is asking is, you know, where does memory end and madness begin? And in the end, we get a really beautiful portrait of a woman who has survived trauma and the strength of her as a character, but also the resilience of the human spirit. This book was so good that our store chose it as the first editions club selection for the month of August, and we actually have signed copies left.
Okay, and we are talking with Emily Crow of the Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley, Massachusetts. So that's A Marker to Measure Drift by Alexander Maxick.
Yeah, that's okay. Right. Okay, so I'm going to switch directions abruptly here. And the next book I'm going to talk about is The Coldest Girl in Cold Town,
okay,
by Holly Black. And technically this book won't be out for a couple of weeks yet, but it is so exciting and so good that I couldn't help talking about it today.
Why is it exciting?
Well, it's the newest book from Holly Black, and if her name doesn't stand out to you on its own yet, you might know her as the one of the co-writers of the Spiderwick Chronicles. Mm. And this is the book that is, I think, totally going to introduce her to a new readership, and we're all super excited for it. I should start by saying this is not your daughter's vampire novel. It's a young adult book, but Holly Black wrote this book in homage to all of the great vampire works she read growing up, so including, you know, the original Dracula, the Nosferatu movie, even to some extent the Anne Rice vampire books. So if you think vampire books begin and end with Twilight, then this is something that will be entirely eye-opening for you. We have a main character named Tana, who is a really interesting teenage girl. She lives in a slightly futuristic world where a rogue vampire has decided to break all of the rules of vampire secrecy by infecting hundreds and hundreds of people with the cold, and that's cold with a capital C. And then those vampires, in turn, infected thousands and thousands of others and so on, and this creates worldwide havoc. But in the U.S., there are a handful of cold towns, and these are sort of heavily guarded no-man's land places where vampires and humans live side by side with an uneasy kind of alliance. The humans allow the vampires to feed on them just a little bit through IV tubes instead of by biting them.
Uh-huh.
And then the vampire's food source literally doesn't dry up. So it's kind of a parasitic relationship.
Sure.
At best. So if you're with me so far, we now pick up with where Tana wakes up one morning from an all-night party and discovers she's the only person left alive in the entire house. And then she discovers an ex-boyfriend chained to a bed in a locked room, and he has already been infected with the cold. And there is a very mysterious but insane vampire named Gavrielle who is also chained up in the bedroom. And she makes the sort of split decision to drive them all to Cold Town in Springfield, Massachusetts, and that changes their lives. The more deeply that she ventures into the heart of Cold Town, the more the reader will shiver in anticipation, because you don't know if it's going to end in revenge or romance or reunion or maybe even revolution, because this girl, Tana, you do not want to mess with her. She is very amazing. This book is fun and refreshing, and I think most general readers would love it.
That's The Coldest Girl in Cold Town by Holly Black. You know, several months ago I had a chance to interview an author who wrote a biography of Bram Stoker, and so I reread some of Dracula, and it's such an odd read. I just wonder why today that vampire stories still resonate. Why do you think that is?
I think many things that haunt our darkest nightmares still resonate with us collectively as a species today.
We're talking with Emily Crow of the Odyssey Bookshop. We have time for one or two more. What else is on your list?
Okay, how about another young adult book from Algonquin? They're a small literary publisher, and this season they are publishing children's books for the first time.
Okay.
They're not your typical publisher, and this book definitely does them proud. It is called If You Could Be Mine,
right,
by Sara Farazan. And so, to set this book up, I need you to consider 4 points. One, homosexuality is illegal in Iran. Two, gender reassignment surgery is actually paid for and subsidized by the government of Iran. Three, Sahar and Nazreen are two girls who live in Iran. And four, they are in love with each other.
Okay.
Okay. So this is the topic that Algonquin decides to sort of put forth for its first young adult novel. They are not pulling any punches, and I really respect them for putting a book out there that is asking, you know, the hard and difficult questions.
Okay.
So it's the story of two teen girls. They've been best friends all of their lives, and they're also in love with each other. And when Nazreen is told that her parents have arranged a marriage for her with an eligible young doctor, both girls are just totally heartbroken. Sahar quite accidentally learns that gender reassignment surgery is subsidized by the Iranian government, and then she spends most of the book trying to decide if that's the right thing to do in their situation. So this book is, you know, it's asking interesting questions. It's set in an area that a lot of books published in the U.S. are not set. And it's also full of really wonderful secondary characters. So if you would like a young adult book that's a little bit different from the typical fare, this is definitely the way to go.
Well, I would say it is a little different than the typical fare. Well, Emily Crow is with the Odyssey Bookshop, hard at work today, joining us by the telephone. It is in South Hadley, Massachusetts at 9 College Street. The website is odysseybks.com. And Emily, thanks for being here. Hope you can make it back to the studio next time.
I definitely will. Thanks again, Ray.
We post each week's book picks and all roundtable segments online at WAMC.org. You are listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.